you say I got to love my neighbor. Well, now really, who would you say my neighbor is?
Who are my neighbors? Tune in to Out There to meet some of them. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in the afternoon with me, Ruthie Woodring. Come with me and my recorder to meet people and plants and think about ways we can share the world. That's Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Archived editions of Out There are online at weatherbeard.com/RUTHY. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. So that's today. Thanks for tuning in to Out There. I've got a couple of special guests in the studio today. Well, Dwayne's a regular guest.
I'm not that special.
regular guest or part host. And the other guest is Tim Blessed.
Hey, what's happening?
Thanks for coming in, both of you, especially Tim.
You're welcome.
I told you I'm not that special.
We'll hear more from them shortly, but a little overview of today's show. I'm not really sure. It depends what we have time for. But yesterday was Tuesday, November 3rd. It was Election Day. So I have a short interview with the poll worker, Dick Clark. Then I want to talk about the Bridge Street Cemetery and historical representations of Native Americans and ginkgo trees. And I have Ruthie's rant talking about a car ride I took last week. And I have an eight-minute clip, highlights of a talk at Smith College last week by Lourdes Ashley Hunter from the D.C.-based Trans Women of Color Collective. And we've got announcements of local events. So now, Tim, I'm really excited you're here because you represent some freedom to me.
Yeah.
So you're going to be doing a show every other Wednesday, rotating with Out There.
Yes, definitely. Yes, the name of the show is Tim Blessed People Power Radio. And it's a show with some socially conscious hip-hop along with some socially conscious commentary, you know, dealing with topical issues, but ultimately about informing people, getting some guests in here, taking some calls, getting some music to inspire folks to really, you know, spark the, you know, the revolution towards an evolution. So, you know, it should be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it and glad that I can help out and spread some freedom to you.
And since you mentioned taking calls, I'm going to let listeners know that feel free to call in today. I welcomed calls last week. Mm-hmm. Dwayne wasn't here. He was home. So he called in. But nice. If anyone wants to call in, if you have comments or questions, I will attempt to operate the phone lines or either of my guests. They can help out. But the number is 585-1033. That's 585-1033, just like the call letters, 103.3 FM. Tim, can you say a little bit more about your music background?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a hip-hop artist. I've been making socially conscious music for over 10 years. I'm originally from Guinea-Bissau, West Africa. That's where I was born many years ago, and grew up in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Went there when I was 3. So, you know, at age 3, I came to the city and be family from country CV to be free. Now fallacy, opportunity to make money, but mainly in criminality. My G.O.D. men in my brain understand the game. It's a shame, funny at times, but serious, I choose to rhyme. You feel this? I shine to blind, vindictive, jealousy, most brothers envy. My clarity, a thought, the way I talk to rock all shows, block, oppose, supreme negativity. Now I balance both, fortify my reality, conquer challenges to grow. Jedi on surreal, mystic, linguistic, appeal to masses on the underground level. Kid Chaos, a rebel, edible, delicious, finger licking, nutritious, make muscle mass men, crispy chicken. I'm original formula, sticking to uplifting my people, informing my crew. Never was no sequel. First man, God is one man. Give birth, Mother Earth, Africa, placenta, blessed, not cursed, love maker, inventor, creator. I was sent to take you to new places, new faces, constellations. See, we make the most out of little. So that's a little brief intro in rhyme form for you. And, you know, so for me, I love this hip hop culture thing, and it's really empowered me. And that's what we'll be talking about, you know, the real hip hop and not necessarily that hip pop that's out there that's really polluting our minds and part of the problem why this world is the way that it is, in my opinion. You know, it needs to be a little bit more balanced. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we want to bring to the show. That's what I'm going to bring to the show. And, you know, I want people to call in, tune in, you know, every Wednesday from 4 to 5, the same
every
time.
Other
every other Wednesday. Ah, well, call in every Wednesday, oh, yeah, you sure, know, right. And then they can talk to you. But, yeah, it should be a lot of fun and, you know, really informative and based on solutions. So that's what we're going to be talking about, not only the challenges that we face as a society, as a people, but also different ways that we can explore, you know, really solving those challenges, because it's really about the people. You know, we know that the people have the power. It's not always about those politicians and Fox News and CNN News and all that other stuff that's used to confuse. You know, we're really trying to, you know, enlighten folks, and that's the mission.
So how did you come to be on Valley Free Radio and know that you wanted to give this show a go?
Yeah, well, how I got here, well, first of all, I recently moved to the area. Was, you know, living in New Bedford, working with young adults, working also with Renewable Energy, this organization out in Boston, and then recently moved out here because my sons had come of age, meaning they're in the high school, and I wanted them to have a better education, and I have some roots out here. I actually went to school at UMass Amherst, graduated there, you know, many moons ago with legal studies degree. And now, you know, I was here. I got a job with Co-op Power, which is an awesome organization around renewable energy and also, you know, energy efficiency work, which is really powerful, you know, helping to change the world, changing the world as we speak. And then, you know, it was an opportunity to outreach, you know, so to get out there and let people know about some of these innovative, creative ways of doing things. And so I was like, hey, let me get on the radio and tell people about, you know, some of the things that are happening that don't always, you know, mainstream media doesn't always cover, because as we know, you know, they're in cahoots with big oil and all those other people that are polluting and destroying this planet. So, you know, what better place than Valley Free Radio to come on and spread some of that good word and spread some of that, you know, revolutionary, evolutionary power.
All right. Well, I'm going to play one of your songs, Miraculous Apertures. Do you want to say anything about this song?
Yeah,
I
mean, it's just about, you know, shining light on the positivity, man. There's a lot of negativity in the world, and sometimes you just want to shine some light on, you know, some of the things that are going well and water them seeds and help them grow. And so that's what the song is about, Miraculous Apertures.
Yeah. Some wisdom for your mind. Blessed energy. Just because you can don't mean he should. And just because he's tan don't mean it he's good. Every brother ain't a brother, lessons learned in a hood. And every white man ain't the devil, don't be misunderstood. Free your mind, no color to spirit in due time. I hope that you hear it, some judge it and fear it, some love and stand near it. The master plan is unity, good music and lyrics. We losing our young brothers to the streets, whether by car accidents or the peace. That bangs, gangs, the system place them in iron chains. Iron bars, liars, pass the by, lawyers appointed to strangle rising stars. It's high, so many skied, barred from school, label retired or fool, not you. Renew, stay true.
I chose miraculous apertures, my mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness. I chose miraculous apertures, my mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us,
pure bliss, portrait of true happiness.
They try to shut my third eye, I say no, not today. Close my mind's eye, never no way. Your way, death and destruction. I weigh love and instruction, education or percussion. You're a prosecutor turned mayor. I'm a revolutionary turned braver. Your ill behavior got neighbor, hating neighbor. We build with truth and trust is our savior. They gentrification, wanting separation. We unify men, women, and child elevation. Foundation, positive vibration. Formation of a stronger new nation. Why you hating? Cause we escaped the plantation. Try congratulations and monetary donations. In our name and in global starvation. Manifestation of a great generation.
Miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness. I chose miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness.
There's a war raging and it starts in my mind. A lot of money making and it starts with the crime. God versus Satan since the beginning of time. I hate waiting, but patience is divine. Be easy, revolutionaries fall back. Defend the earth, that's where it's at. Stay alert and build with the facts. The hunger's back, I eat beat, shit raps. My words convey hope in the coldest day. Rope to pick you up from where you lay. Hey, here's my hand, my brother, mon ami. Be a friend of me, we don't gotta be enemies. Are you kidding me? You'd rather build with treachery, villainy. I'ma show you the best in me. Blessed destiny is unity, build it, you and me. Blessed energy is the company.
I chose miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness. I chose miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness. I chose miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness. I chose miraculous amateurs. My mind camera captures marvelous images. Picture this, justice, not just us, pure bliss. Portrait of true happiness.
That was that was Tim Blessed with Miraculous Apertures. Dwayne, do you have any announcements? Wait a minute, got the mic off on you. Every time I turn the mics off, I forget to turn them back on.
I told you I wasn't that special. I'm happy for a little mic time. Yeah, Fall Recycling Rally this Saturday, November 7th. From 9 till noon at Smith Vocational High School. It's 80 Locust Street, Northampton. They're accepting bulky rigid plastic, swap and recycle, which is a nice place to get toys and things like that, I see. White styrofoam, document shredding, limit two curbside recycling size boxes, and bicycles via Bikes Not Bombs. $3 per bike donation request to offset the shipping expenses. And we are going to be shipping bicycles to Bicycles Not Bombs.
Yeah, the Bike Lab. I think we'll have some bikes to send Bikes Not Bombs way.
Yes, and what are we going to help them flatten them up there?
I emailed asking Stephen if they needed help, but I have not heard back yet.
But you might get to see one of us in person.
Oh, all right. Dwayne, do you want to say something about the joys of fall and collecting firewood? We were having a good time yesterday along the rail trail.
We certainly did, yes. We figured, what was it? This is the sixth year that you had a wood stove, and you have not had to buy one single stick of wood.
That's right. We've
heated the house for the past five winters.
We've gotten almost all of it from along the rail trail, like within half a mile or less of the house.
No chainsaws involved?
No, just the quiet two-person saw. I think if we had chainsaws, we might get some raised eyebrows or something.
Yeah.
And then we have the soft pony that we stash in the woods.
That people take and often use for chairs or some other amendment to their campsites.
Yeah, the last couple.
We have to search.
We have to search in the woods and like, all right, whoever's camping out there, sorry, we got to take our sawhorse back.
They've been pretty creative with it, though. So it's a multi-purpose sawhorse.
Yes. So yesterday was Election Day. I have a little clip from Dick Clark. This clip was actually from last year, and I didn't get around to playing it till this year. But Dick Clark was there again when I voted yesterday. So I figured I might as well play it. I think it's all still valid. So it's Tuesday, right?
That's correct.
We're at the Florence Civic Center polling area. Do you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Dick Clark.
I'm on TV or
rock and roll, but I do know how to dance.
All right, can we have a demonstration like he was singing for us?
No, we're not going to sing or dance. No, we can do that here.
Okay, then I'll just ask you.
Go to the club later.
All right, you're here till 8, right?
Right.
Okay, well, what do you do as a poll worker?
Okay, the first thing we do when the people come to our desk, we ask them their address. Then we look up in the book the address, and then we ask their name to match with the address. Then we check them off and give them the appropriate ballot. Then they go and fill it in, and then they go and do the same thing as they check out.
So the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Okay. How many people do you typically see here at the Florence Civic Center?
Anywhere from 600 to 800. Today being an exception. If we hit 400, we'd be lucky.
Do you know how many registered voters there are in this ward?
1,100.
Okay. I hear about poll watchers. Is that a separate thing?
That would be something different from what we do.
Okay. Do you ever see voter fraud?
Never.
What happens if someone comes and tells you their name, but they're not on the list?
We let them speak to the supervisor, whom that is, and they give the same information to them. If it doesn't match up in their book, they're sent to see the call the warden or somebody like that. Or call City Hall.
Okay. Or what if someone gave you their name and you looked on the list and they'd already been checked off?
Sorry.
Whoever gets here first gets the vote.
First.
Okay. What's the hardest part about it for you?
Oh, nothing really. It's a piece of cake. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this. I can read and write, and that's all it requires. Asking questions and answering.
What do you like most about it?
Meeting the people. I like people.
Yeah. Do you have any advice to anyone who might be interested in being a poll worker?
If you are interested in working at the polls, you'd have to speak to probably your ward representative or the mayor or somebody of that, or go to the city hall. We have to stay until the figures match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ins, the outs, and the book, and the ballots that gone through. So everything has got to match up before we leave. Otherwise, we stay indefinitely.
Yeah.
Bring your overnight gear.
I forgot to ask you about the pay.
Okay, $50.
$50 for the shift. It's from 1
till probably 8:30.
Okay, thanks. That was an interview with Dick Clark, a poll worker from Florence, from Ward 5. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP, 103.3 FM. And I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Also in the studio here with me today are Tim Blessed.
Yo.
And Dwayne Rainey.
Yo. Not to be out yo'd. Yo.
So the next thing I'm going to talk about is, well, a couple days ago, Monday, I was riding along the Bridge Street Cemetery, and I noticed two things, historical markers and ginkgo fruits. And first, the historical markers. Well, there's a, I think it's a relatively new historical marker. It's a four-sided pole, like with four vertical panels on it. The kind you see like in front of the courthouse or at First Churches or Pulaski Park. And so I stopped to read it because I wondered if it would mention Sally Mamonesh. She was buried in the Bridge Street Cemetery in 1853, I believe. And her gravestone reads, Sally Mamonesh, last of the Indians here. So I'm going to play some stuff that I recorded when I was researching a little bit more at Historic Northampton. And just some the research and thoughts of mine.
Well, that wasn't true.
That it wasn't true that she was the last
she
of Indians.
She was cast as a token civilized Indian, like an icon of what was romantically believed to be a vanishing race. But her family, the Mamonesh family, they weren't uncivilized remnants of vanishing tribes. They served as soldiers, they weaved in local homes and attended local churches. Sally had been a member of First Church, They participated in the social milieu of Northampton, much like their white neighbors, but they were vulnerable to racial prejudice and danger from their less tolerant neighbors. Many from the Mamonash family were buried on Hospital Hill, an unmarked grave. It's relatively obscure now. Mary Brewster, an author, wrote, "The field where the Indians were buried, now owned by the state hospital, was owned by W.F. Arnold, who left standing the group of gaunt pines that long guarded the Indian grave, in picturesque and poignant contrast to the spot today where, in sunny bleakness below a stone-covered ridge, gone is the last trace of a historic burial place, unmarked and generally unremembered."
So I've wanted to do a piece for a while about the American Indian presence in this area, present and past, but I haven't gotten all the pieces together to have a well-developed show about it, so I decided I would just go ahead and play some of the things that I do have.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I have more for today's show, too. One thing that I feel like many white United States people feel like is that, and I feel like I sort of grew up with this historical idea of, like, Native Americans, like, where are they? Like, they kind of disappeared or something.
Well, here's one thing that happened. This is from a book entitled The Monacan Indian Nation of Virginia, The Drums of Life by Rosemary Clark Whitlock. Between 1912 and 1946, the guy who directed the Virginia Bureau of Vital Statistics, Dr. Walter Plecker, he made sure that all Monacans were classified as colored. The Monacans' ancestral and contemporary land is centered just north of the James River on the eastern slope of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia.
So the next series of clips I have are from a bike ride that I took to Hatfield.
I'm always interested in how history is portrayed in public places. This is on Prospect Street. On the way to Hatfield, right after you cross the interstate, there's a sign, a historical marker that says, Hatfield, before 1670, part of Hadley, thrice attacked by Indians during King Philip's War. Massachusetts Bay Colony, Tercentenary Commission, 1630 to 1930. The sign makes it sound as if Hatfield was very defensive, innocent, on the defense. They were attacked. Further up on Main Street in Hatfield, here's another stone with a plaque embedded in it. This stone marks the dwelling place of a guy who was the first of his name to settle in the valley. There's a little bit of historical information about the guy and his family from the 1500s. Born in England, died November 1662. His sons were both killed by Indians in 1677. That's a direct quote. Now at Bloody Brook in Deerfield, there's a square statue from 1838, about 15 feet tall, that says, "On this ground, Captain Thomas Lathrop and 84 men under his command, including 18 teamsters from Deerfield, conveying stores from that town to Hadley, were ambuscaded by about 700 Indians, and the captain and 76 men slain." 76 men. I wonder if that's assuming that all those men were with that captain. What about the Indians? The soldiers who fell were described by a contemporary historian as a choice company of young men, the very flower of the county of Essex, none of whom were ashamed to speak with the enemy in the gate. There was a sign that said clotheslines, not pipelines.
How is it that it seems like people in the North think that people in the South should take down their Confederate flag? Well, people in the South think the Confederate flag should go, too. But, you know, people in the North, we got a lot of races, plaques, and statues, and memorials stuck all over this New England land.
So the next clips I have are from a visit to Cumberland Gap National Historical Park and the Tennessee-Kentucky-Virginia border.
I was particularly curious here at the Cumberland Gap National Park headquarters, visitor center, to see how Native Americans and Euro-Americans are portrayed in terms of the land. And here is a display that says, In the years leading to and following the American Revolution, Kentucky was being explored and claimed by European land speculators. As they, along with hunters who preceded them, competed with the American Indians for control of the land, conflicts arose. These struggles often ended with a treaty between the American Indians and the Euro-Americans. Virtually every treaty resulted in lost territory for the American Indians and additional land for the Euro-American settlers and westward-moving pioneers. Here are some of the treaties. In 1763, the Proclamation Line of 1763 was issued by King George III after the Seven Years' War. It was intended to pacify the frontier by preventing settlement west of the Appalachian Divide. The American Indians took it seriously. Most land speculators ignored it. Then in 1768, 5 years later, in the Treaty of Fort Stanwix, British purchased the land now known as Kentucky from the Iroquois. Although their homeland was in New York, the Iroquois claimed sovereignty over Kentucky. The Shawnee and Cherokee, who also lay claim to the land, didn't recognize the Iroquois' claim. They were not party to the treaty and ultimately lost control of the land. 7 years later, 1775, at the Treaty of Sycamore Shoals, land speculator Richard Henderson traded food, clothing, weapons, and money with the Cherokee for 17 million acres of land, including right of access to Cumberland Gap. Dragon Canoe, leader of the young Cherokee warriors who opposed land cessions, angrily protested the treaty. And through the end of the 18th century, American Indians continued to resist the expansion of the United States, but continued to lose their homelands and hunting grounds in the Ohio River Valley to westward-moving American settlers. They have a display that has two sides to it, the panel, and you can flip it over. The bottom of the panel says, rotate the panel for another perspective. One perspective is Euro-Americans claiming the land. Hunters, explorers, land speculators, and settlers began coming west in the 18th century with the hope of acquiring land they could call their own. Land companies explored and surveyed the land. The government issued land warrants to soldiers for military service, and squatters who farmed plots of land claimed ownership. They interpreted the American Indian notion that no one could claim absolute and exclusive ownership of the land as meaning that the land was there for the taking. If you rotate the panel, it says American Indians sharing the land. For the American Indians, land had a spiritual significance. Like the water and the sky, the land was part of the world shared by all living beings. A tribe or nation could claim possession of the land, but an individual could not own a plot of land. When the American Indians sold land in a treaty, they believed that they were selling the right to move through the land or to use it for hunting or fishing. They didn't share the European view that land ownership meant the permanent exclusion of other people. In the end, the Cherokee, Shawnee, and Iroquois lost control of lands they used for sacred ceremonies, hunting, and rituals, and as buffers between nations. And here's some comments from Corntassel, a Cherokee chief from 1777. He writes, it seems mysterious to me why you should ask so much land so near me. I'm sensible if we give up these lands, they'll bring you a great deal more than hundreds of pounds. It spoils our hunting ground, but always remains good to you to raise families and stocks on, when the goods we receive of you are rotten and gone to nothing. And you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Also in the studio here with me are Tam Blest and Dwayne Rainey. Let's see. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was the ginkgo. I'd mentioned being in the Bridge Street Cemetery. Oh. Oh, wait, no. Before I get to the ginkgo, one thing about the cemetery that I wanted to mention, it's a really great place to take a walk. It's quiet and tree-lined in the midst of a bustling city. It seems like a bustling city to me, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I love cemeteries.
Yeah.
It's always real peaceful.
Yeah, there's actually three tombs and a mausoleum in Bridge Street Cemetery. Oh, wow. Yeah, it dates back to 1661. And there's a restoration project in the works. They had a community forum last week, I think, about it. And people are wanting to make it more welcoming and park-like, I think.
That's the only land you ever really own. 3x3x6.
So now to the ginkgo. Well,
don't eat them.
We'll get to that. So one of the things I like about it is this, the female ginkgo tree that comes out of the cemetery. It's in the cemetery, but its branches stretch out over Parsons Street, and it drops fruit regularly, like every year, I think. So on Monday, I stopped and picked some up when I was riding by Ginkgo Stinko, I call it. It's a popular city landscape tree because it's resistant to pests. But landscapers usually try to just plant the male or graft on the male, however it happens, so that it won't make fruit. But there are a few females in town.
Liquors 44?
No, that's the Coosa Dogwood at Liquors 44. Okay. And since I had guests in the studio, I thought I would give you all a whiff and see if you can describe the smell for listeners. I'll let you take off the lid yourself, putrid. Tim. Tell me what you think. Tell me if you can describe that smell.
Ooh. That was not good. Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it smells a little sour.
It smells like cheese feet.
Yeah. Cheese feet.
Yeah.
That's a good way to
cheesy describe. Socks, like a month old or something. You eat that.
Isn't that stuff that gives you isn't it good for memory and stuff?
Yeah, right. It's supposed to be good for memory.
Yeah, you never forget what that smells like. It's what it is. Hey, you got a good memory. Why, thank you.
So the fruit, most people don't eat the fruit, but the inside are the nuts. So there's half a dozen little nuts that I scrape the fruit off of. The fruit's like, it's yellow like a big grape, and it's got a nut inside that's about the size of a
pistachio.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a pistachio. It's got a thin shell you can crack between your teeth. I like to boil it or roast it, like boil it for a couple minutes or maybe roast it and then just crack it between my teeth and eat it. And the inside is like greenish, slightly gummy. Slightly bitter, nutty taste.
Mm-hmm. Slightly.
But it doesn't, the inside nut part doesn't taste like it smells. It doesn't taste like the fruit smells.
Okay.
I always think about the first person to ever, like, you know, be adventurous enough to crack it open and taste it.
They must have really been hungry.
I know.
That's a good point. I have something.
He had some faith that something good is in there.
No.
I've heard that some people are sort of allergic, maybe, I think, to the flesh, and they can make your hands, it can give you some peeling of your hands or something like that. Oh, Dwayne's biting into one.
All right.
Because all I've ever had was the outside, and you go, oh, the nuts are good.
I haven't had them raw, but I'm sure you'll be fine.
That's enough for that.
If you can break it. I don't know.
Oh, I broke it.
You did?
Yeah, people make tea out of the leaves, too. It's a native of China, and it's pretty common in China and Japan. Actually, the ginkgo leaf is the official leaf of Tokyo. Their symbol is the ginkgo leaf. If you eat them, you're not supposed to eat more than maybe half a dozen a day.
I ain't trying that, man.
You ain't trying it? You cracked it open.
That's as rare as I go.
Let's see. Yeah, you're not supposed to eat more than maybe half a dozen a day. Oh, you know, the landscapers try and plant the male so they don't make the stinky fruit. But one advantage of the females is that they don't make pollen, because people that have allergies are more likely to be allergic to the male pollen makers.
Is it you don't want to eat more than six a day, or you can't eat more than six a day?
Oh, no, you can't. I read about someone who ate like 20 or 30 the first time they tried them. And then the next day they had
intensive
a bit of a
care.
No, I think they just had a little bit of a tummy ache. What do you think, Tim?
It's a little sour, but it tastes healthy.
That's the old. Yep. Oh, it's healthy for you.
It's healthy.
Cod liver oil. Yeah. Yeah.
So if those
things that taste good usually ain't good for me.
Yeah.
If you want some ginkgo, if you want to collect some ginkgo, I know about that tree on Parsons Street. There's also one on Route 66 by the Smith Athletic Fields as you start up the hill. I think there's one on the VA Hill in Leeds, too. If any listeners want to call in with more information about ginkgos or ginkgo locations, the number is 585-1033. Here's a little song by Davy Levkovich about the ginkgo biloba.
Ginkgo biloba. to feed the cat. Remember to wear your hat in the sun. Remember to have fun. Remember to sing along, everyone, until the song is done.
All right, so, well.
Nice.
Yeah, remember not to play that again.
There may be side effects to ginkgo biloba. They're sort of unproven, just like the positive effects are unproven.
I seen they were doing some study on vitamins and, like, ginkgo biloba and stuff. And what you think you're getting is, like, a GNC. It has, like, trace amounts. Just enough so they could take and put a label on it that says, with ginkgo biloba. So you're not, like, getting jam-packed full of just stuff.
Well, this is the real deal.
You
know, though it's not October anymore, word of the month. Well, word of the month for October, what was it, Dwayne?
Apple. Apples are still good.
Yeah, apple. It was apple. And I want to mention a few public apple trees in town where there's good apples just rolling around on the ground rotting. One's by the 7-Eleven on King Street in downtown Northampton. There's another in Florence back behind JFK Middle School between the parking lot and Bear Hill Estates.
We still have the best one.
Yeah, but I can't give that one away because it's in someone's yard, a generous someone's yard.
And they're very delicious.
Yeah, we have a lot. Contact us privately and we'll...
I was thinking for a new word for November, it would be like butternut squash.
Yes.
There's plenty of it everywhere.
Yes.
The apples are extremely delicious this year. I don't know if it's something in the air, but I had an apple the other day that I was like...
Emissions from Volkswagens.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm going to take a minute and do Ruthie's rant, if I haven't been ranting enough about things. But Ruthie's rant. Okay. I rode in a car today. Well, this is actually last week. I wrote this last week. I rode in a car today.
You're still complaining?
I'm still complaining. I didn't want to get in, but I was convinced it was for the greater good. Going to Springfield to support some friends in court. I would have taken the PVTA bus, but I was hoping to connect with the people in the carpool. When the car pulled up, a black box on wheels, I didn't like its shiny exterior or its smooth interior. The glitz accentuated the feeling of separation from the natural world, this thing whisking me away from my freedom to move and breathe and touch the earth. I thought cynically, this is what solidarity looks like. Soon we were moving 75 miles an hour in a one-way channel, cars and trucks beating along both sides. Even from the inside, the car was loud. We passed the Fair Street Extension, where I've often ridden my bicycle and looked up at the cars and trucks on the interstate and wondered if the motorists were looking down at me. But from the car, that small town road was barely even visible, hardly a blip in the scenery. The bus is a box, too. I don't like sitting in it either. But at least it's shared. More of the outside world comes in, and you can get off whenever you want. Well, not really whenever.
Not a megabus.
No, well, I'm talking about the PVTA.
Oh.
Yeah. Hurtling down the interstate, we see fire truck and police car lights flashing in the opposite lane, and a car still facing backwards in the median, windshield shattered and front end crushed, a sheet draped over where the windshield was, and the bodies might still be. We keep speeding along. When we get to downtown Springfield, we join the lines of cars and motorists waiting at stoplights, driving around in circles looking for a place to park. I tried to get out at a red light, but because of the electronic locking system of the car, the driver had to get out and open my door from the outside. Once I was out, I got back on my own 2 feet, walking through Springfield, and started to feel alive again. All in all, including getting gas, the total trip from Florence took 50 minutes in the car. The PVTA takes 50 minutes from Northampton to Springfield, and you only pay $1.50. On the way back, I got dropped off in Holyoke and breathed delightfully fresh car exhaust as I moved my legs in the sunshine to catch the B-48 back to Northampton. I looked forward to having 5 or 10 minutes to relax before the bus came, But a friend rode up on his bike to catch the bus, and I promptly regurgitated my car trap story on his captive ears. Thanks to him, you, my next listening audience, just get the toned-down version, believe it or not.
Nice. I got the whole thing.
You've heard it like 3 times. Oh. All right, here's a bike lab.
I found a bike today. It looks so good, why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Ken Blessed and Dwayne Rainey are here in the studio with me today.
Yeah. How about the Autumn Serenade?
Yeah, you got an announcement to make?
Yes, I do.
Bring
Autumn Serenade featuring Smith College Choirs and the Smith College Campus School Chorus, Saturday, November 10th at Sweeney Concert Hall, Smith College, let's see, Sage Hall, 144 Green Street. Admission is free.
Excellent. Free. Be we there. Like that word.
I love that word.
If it's free, it's for me.
That's right.
So the next clip I have is abbreviated talk that Lord Ashley Hunter gave at Smith College on Friday. I just clipped some of the highlights. Lord Ashley Hunter is from the Trans Women of Color Collective based in D.C. And here she is.
When we talk about patriarchy, white women, I know you can talk to me about how patriarchy impacts your lives. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about allyship and how sometimes we other oppression when we act like we're not impacted by oppression. Like, there's this oppression Olympics that people talk about, and like, we're all impacted by oppression differently, of course, right? It manifests differently. But it happens in all our lives. Now, we're gonna talk about trans people, but what you'll realize is like, this shit is fucked up for all of us, right? And actually, we're gonna talk about how, like, you know, trans people is paving the way for you cis people who don't understand that you've been lied to. You've been told that you need to show up in this gender presentation every single day. You have been told that you need to show up to be accepted, to get married, to have children, that you must present yourself worthy of acceptance to a society. You have been lied to. Mm-hmm. And when you continue to live in that lie, you're causing us violence, because us trans people, us gender non-conforming people, we reject those binaries, we reject those archaic systems that tells us that I need to wear stilettos and I need to look a certain way when I present myself in order to be accepted by society. So when we talk about how systems of oppression impact transgender non-conforming people of color specifically, we're talking about discrimination in the workplace. Like I said before, in 33 states it's legal to fire a trans person, not hire a trans. And so because that is legal, if a trans person does not have access to employment, gainful employment, then they're left with no income or low income. And what happens when you have no income or low income, then your health and your access to health care coverage is compromised, challenged, met with barriers. And so if you have no job, you have no health care, you probably have no home, because how are you going to pay rent? And so, because it's legal to deny transgender non-conforming people access to housing in 34 states, this is a vicious cycle. It's also legal to deny trans and gender nonconforming people access to educational opportunities. If you don't have education, then you're not going to be able to get a job. If you don't have a job, you're not going to be able to get health care. If you don't have a job, you can't pay rent at a home. It's basic needs. And so this is how state sanctioned violence manifests in the lives of trans people, of gender nonconforming people. And it's legal in this country. And when you're silent about that, you're complicit in the violence. You're engaging in violence. And so when you have access to education and other people don't have access to education and you do nothing about it, you're full of shit. You know, your education is not going to change your life. I have a master's degree and still couldn't get a job. You know why? Because I'm black and trans. That's just the reality. And until we shift that narrative, until people in positions of power begin to release, you know, these gatekeeping tactics, these white supremacist tactics, none of us will get free. I said none of us will get free.
Right.
Y'all must like being in shackles, or you don't realize that you're shackled. I know that happens a lot with white people. They don't realize how they are oppressed, right? They don't realize, like I grew up in Detroit, and if you ever saw that movie 8 Mile, it's real. It's real. That's exactly how people were living and continue to live in that city where I'm from. And so it's important for people who have perceived privilege. Privilege is also socially constructed. People who have access to resources need to understand if they're not redistributing those resources, if they're not using those resources to leverage opportunities for others, then you're part of the problem. I said you're part of the problem. And so I think that it's important for us to recognize how we are complicit and enacting violence, state-sanctioned violence on others. It's not just the police. If you think that state-sanctioned violence is just the police beating up and shooting black men, you've been lied to. They need to be teaching you how state-sanctioned violence manifests in your life. They need to be teaching you how this institution was built on the backs of people who owned this land before they came here. And that needs to be honored. And so I want to share. Like, we hear words about visibility. We hear words like diversity, words like equality, inclusion. And what we really don't understand is how those words really reinforce narratives of white supremacy. I said those words really reinforce narratives of white supremacy. Those are white supremacist tactics. So when people come to you talking about diversity, you better tell them, by my face. Right, I'm not interested in your diversity. I'm not interested in being included in anything. We've already been doing this, right? You need to get on board. And so I'm more interested in words like collaborative and collective and together. And so what happens is they use words like visibility. Like they say, oh, trans people need to be more visible. But the more times Laverne Cox is up on the stage, that's not going to stop people from killing us. Now, I don't care how many times you invite Janet Mock to your college campus. If you're not employing trans people, it's just not going to shift any dynamics in our lives. And so we need to actually understand that how inclusion narratives, diversity narratives, equality narratives, these check-the-box narratives are actually white supremacist tactics and their acts of violence. And so we really need to divorce ourselves from, oh, let's make sure that we have a black one. Let's make sure we have a Latina. Let's make sure we have an Asian. No, let's make sure we have people who are awake. Let's make sure we have people who are informed, people who really know what they're talking about and are really deeply invested in a process that's collective, you know, that focuses on the margins, those most disproportionately impacted by structural oppression, by violence and discrimination. Then and only then can we shift the narrative to one that's centered around collective healing and collective liberation. I also want to talk a little bit about this whole ally shit, right? My friend Jay Mace has this poem about you're the type of ally. If you know Jay Mace, that poem is exciting. And it just reads allies for filth. They have no edges left. So I suggest you Google Jay Mace and his ally poem. But like ally is a term that others oppression, right? So like I'm your ally. This doesn't happen to me. So I'm going to come over and then pet you on the head and make you feel better. And then, you know, I did my part. But like we are all impacted by structural oppression. So I'm more interested in using terms like comrade and co-conspirator and co-collaborator. Because that means we're building some shit together. That means we're dismantling some shit together. That means that we are aligned, our visions are aligned, not just our theories, but our praxis. Not just your theory, your theory of change if your practice looks like, right? You can't say I'm on a diet, but then you eating pizza and fried chicken, and it does not make sense. I don't care how many pictures of fruit you post on Facebook, that's all what you have for them, right? So your theory and your practice must be aligned. And so that's really, really important. So don't be fooled by people who want to talk about allyship. No, let me see what your works. Let me see what your works do, right? Let your works speak for themselves. If you're sitting in rooms where they're having conversations and people who should be in that room are not there, that does not mean speak for them. Mm-hmm. I said that does not mean speak for them. That means we need to stop this conversation. We need to put a pin in this conversation. Because there are some voices who are not here. They don't need to be included, but they need to be leading the conversation, and we need to be listening. I said we need to be listening, right? If you have levels of privilege over people, shut up. Let them have, not let them. Get out the way, right? Because you're not letting anybody do anything. When you think you're letting, allowing, you're engaging in violence. Right, you're actually professing your privilege over a person. Right, when you say we need to include this person, you're professing that your privilege. You're saying I'm already a part of this conversation, and they're not. And so that's where we need to really recognize these ways in which we are actually engaging in violence against others complicitly. You got to wake up, because violence against one of us is violence against all of us.
That was a talk by Lourdes Ashley Hunter. She was at Smith College last Friday, and you can find out more about her. She says she likes to tweet. She has a Twitter account. Check out her Twitter account. She's part of the Trans Women of Color Collective based in Washington, D.C., TWOCC. They have lots of media material that they've put out if you're interested in hearing more.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Powerful.
Good yes. Stuff. Yeah. So a couple of announcements I want to make. I don't know if this is really an announcement, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the city's, some plans, big picture plans for the city regarding sustainability and rail trail transportation issues. The city recently got 3 significant grants that are going to allow the city to make a complete streets comprehensive plan for pedestrians and bicyclists, or including pedestrians and bicyclists. This process will kick off in early 2016 with surveys and public workshops to engage the community in how we want our network, our transportation network, to look. Also, some details about current projects. Let's see. The rail trail from State Street by Stop and Shop to Bridge Road by the roundabout in JFK. It's the city's oldest bike path. It's over 30 years old. And
it needs some work.
It needs some repaving. So this is a project that could use some funding. Another project in the works is the Rocky Hill Greenway multi-use trail. This would go from the New Haven and Northampton Canal Trail line. That's the bike path, what we call the bike path to East Hampton. It would go from there, kind of close to where the rail trail bridge is over Route 10. It would go from there up to Route 66 by Ice Pond Road, between Ice Pond Road and the jail. It'll be the city's first major trail not following former railroad right-of-ways, and the only trail that will eventually serve the southwestern third of the city. That trail will eventually connect neighborhoods out towards Ryan Road School, the elementary school out there. And another trail in the works is the Connecticut River Greenway multi-use trail. And this will go, it'll continue north from like the Northampton side of the bridge across the Connecticut River. I don't know if people have seen the new rowing center, Northampton High School Rowing Center, I think, that they built up there.
Boat ramp,
rowing. I'm not sure if it's really a boat ramp or it's just like the rowing center. But this trail, I think, will connect. Eventually it'll go all the way to Hatfield someday. And then another project is to expand the Amtrak service and other things. Anyway, these are all projects through the city planning office and on the city's website. I think there's more information for that. Or if you want to lobby for funds to go, I guess you could lobby for funds not to go to any of these things. Too
about my pocket.
your pocket. Go build some. You go pave the rail trail, and I'll put money in your pocket.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, nice.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Music touches places in the soul where words have no power. That's why we invite our guests to share the music that speaks of their spiritual path, journey, or beliefs for Song of the Soul. Often our guests are musicians, but sometimes they're simply folks with a deep connection to music, like you and me. Join me, Mark Helpsmeet, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul. Hear some great music and travel with our guests on their spiritual journeys. The place to be is WXOJLP, 103.3 FM Valley Free Radio, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul.
Let in the light, it will heal you, and you can feel you, and sing out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song, why don't you sing along, and we can sing for a long, long time.
So that about does it for today's show. Thanks for listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Wardring. Thanks also to Tim Blest and Dwayne Rainey for coming in. Coming in today. You'll hear a lot more from Tim in the future on the Wednesday 4 to 5 hours. We'll be alternating biweekly Wednesdays.
Yeah, we're shooting for end of November, early December. So
all right.
Thank you so much for having me on.
For people who missed the first part of the show, can you just say in like 20 seconds what your show is going to be?
Oh, so it's called Tim Blest People Power Radio. It's about social justice, socially conscious hip-hop music will be played. We'll be getting calls from you all, having some guests in here, very much focused on solutions to some of the challenges that we're facing here in the world and the planet. And hopefully we'll reach an enlightened society someday when we finally come together as people, as one. One love. Peace.
Thanks, Tim. Look forward to it. Democracy Now! Be up at 5.